In June 2014, Sports Illustrated made what seemed like the most ridiculous prediction in sports journalism history. The magazine put George Springer of the Houston Astros, baseball's worst team with three consecutive 100-plus loss seasons, on its cover with the audacious headline, "Your 2017 World Series Champs." The prediction was met with mockery and disbelief, even from SI's own writers. The Astros had become a national joke, sometimes drawing 0.0 local TV ratings and featuring as a punchline on Jeopardy! Yet behind the scenes, something revolutionary was happening. The Astros, led by general manager Jeff Luhnow and his analytics guru Sig Mejdahl, weren't just tanking for draft picks, they were pioneering an entirely new approach to building a baseball organization. While the rest of the world was just beginning to wrestle with big data's limitations, from criminal justice bias to flash stock market crashes, the Astros had already developed a method that integrated human observations into probabilistic models. On November 1, 2017, that seemingly preposterous prediction came true. The Houston Astros, led by World Series MVP George Springer, the very player featured on that ridiculed cover, won the franchise's first championship. Their journey from baseball's basement to its summit represents one of the most remarkable transformations in sports history and offers profound lessons about how humans and computers can bring out the best in each other. The Houston Astros were born from the vision of Roy Mark Hofhines, known simply as the Judge. A self-made millionaire who became Houston's mayor at 41, Hofhines dreamed of transforming a 260-acre swamp into what would become the Astrodome, the world's first domed stadium. When the National League awarded Houston an expansion team in 1962, initially named the Colt 45s, later the Astros, Hofhines created a spectacle that drew 2.1 million fans in 1965, tripling the previous year's attendance. But the Judge's showmanship couldn't overcome the team's mediocrity. After 14 years without playoffs, attendance plummeted, and Hofhines lost control of both the Astrodome and Astros to creditors. Though the team eventually made 6 playoff appearances, they never gave the Astrodome a World Series game before moving to a new downtown ballpark in 2000. Fast forward to 2003, when Sig Mejdahl, a former blackjack dealer with degrees in mechanical engineering, aeronautical engineering, operations research, and cognitive psychology, discovered Michael Lewis's Moneyball. After successful careers at Lockheed Martin and NASA, Sig yearned to apply his mathematical expertise to his lifelong passion, baseball. He launched an aggressive job campaign, sending customized analyses to MLB teams showing how statistical techniques could double draft success rates. Most teams rejected his advances until Jeff Luhnow of the St. Louis Cardinals responded. Luhnow, born in Mexico City and educated at Penn and Northwestern, had his own unconventional background. Having worked at McKinsey Consulting, W.L. Gore, and various tech startups before Cardinals owner Bill DeWitt Jr. hired him in 2003 to revolutionize their player development system. Together, Luhnow and Sig would transform the Cardinals' draft process before eventually bringing their data-driven approach to Houston, where they would face their greatest challenge, rebuilding baseball's worst team into a champion. When Jim Crane purchased the Astros for $680 million in 2011, he inherited a disaster, a 56-106 team with a bloated payroll, dwindling attendance, and baseball's worst farm system. Unlike owners who viewed teams as playthings, Crane wanted a sustainably profitable business. He hired Jeff Luhnow as general manager, who presented a radical vision. Unlike other rebuilding teams that tried maintaining 500 records while developing talent, the Astros would focus exclusively on the future, accepting short-term pain for long-term dominance. At the end of the day, Luhnow explained, when you're in 2017, you don't really care that much about whether we lost 98 or 107 in 2012. You care about how close we are to winning a championship in 2017. The proposal's core, which truly sold Crane, was about data-driven decision-making. Crane, who'd made his fortune in shipping and logistics, understood that better information, faster than your competitors, was the key to success. Sig Megdahl followed Luno to Houston, where they established what players mockingly called the Nerd Cave, a room where Sig's team of analysts built an evaluation system that translated every piece of information about players into a single language. The system incorporated traditional statistics alongside scout-collected information about health, mechanics, personality, and family history, then ran regressions against historical data back to 1997. If a human being can sense it, a human being can quantify it, said Sig. The result was a numerical projection of a player's expected production versus salary, making decisions as simple as blackjack, hit or stand. Unlike the antagonistic portrayal in Moneyball, Luno framed analytics as complementary to scouting, an and question rather than either or. He understood that scouts possessed expertise that algorithms couldn't capture. When area scout Mike Looper used one of his precious gut-feel gold stars on Trevor Rosenthal, despite seeing just one inning of his pitching, Luno trusted that intuition. That gut feel gave them their 21st-round pick, who would become a key contributor. The Astros' approach wasn't just about finding undervalued players. It was about identifying those with what they called growth mindset, players with uncommon drive to improve themselves. This focus on character and adaptability would prove crucial as they assembled their championship core. The Astros' rebuilding process centered on maximizing their draft picks, the silver lining of their terrible major league performance. With the first overall selection in 2012, they faced a pivotal decision that would shape their future. While most expected Houston to select either Stanford pitcher Mark Appel or high school phenom Byron Buxton, a freak athlete compared to Bo Jackson, Luno stunned observers by selecting Carlos Correa, a 17-year-old shortstop from Puerto Rico who had only recently appeared in the lower fringes of most top 10 mock drafts. Correa's journey to that moment was remarkable. His father, Carlos Sr., nicknamed both 24/7 for his relentless work ethic across multiple construction jobs and Hitler for his strict baseball training regimen, had pushed young Javier, Carlos' given name, from age 7. Despite working from 4:30 a.m. through evening, Carlos Sr. took his son to practice baseball for 2 hours every night, 6 days a week. At 8 years old, Correa asked to attend a bilingual Baptist school despite his parents not speaking English, wanting to speak for myself, unlike Latin players who needed translators. His parents scraped together the $150 monthly tuition through extra jobs. By high school, Correa earned a scholarship to Puerto Rico Baseball Academy, waking at 5 a.m. for academics until noon, baseball until 4 p.m., followed by studying and nightly drills with his father. Astro scout Mike Elias first spotted 15-year-old Correa playing against older competition in 2010. By 2012, Elias had written a scouting report twice the standard length, describing Correa as a graceful beast with large, rangy frame comparable to A-Rod or Cal Ripken Jr. When Luno and special assistant Enos Cabell met with Correa and his parents, they were struck by how the 17-year-old maintained unwavering eye contact throughout their conversation. Cabell immediately told Luno, "This kid's a leader." The selection was also strategic financially. Under MLB's new collective bargaining agreement, teams had strict bonus pools for their draft picks. By signing Correa for $4.8 million, $2.4 million below the recommended slot value for the first pick, Houston could redirect savings to other prospects. This allowed them to later sign high school pitcher Lance McCullers Jr., selected 41st overall, for $2.5 million, nearly double his slot value. Days after signing, the valedictorian attended his graduation from the Puerto Rico Baseball Academy wearing his first ever owned suit. Looking in the mirror, Correa envisioned his future, maintaining a strict diet to stay under 220 pounds to remain at shortstop, giving his practice signature to fans, and ensuring neither he nor his father would ever work construction again. From now on, he said, "I will look nice." While the Astros' analytics-driven approach helped identify the right players, success ultimately depended on those players' willingness to use data to improve. The front office overhauled the organization's coaching ranks with people who embraced their philosophy and could translate it to players. Among the 300 players already in the Astros system, they needed to identify those with both talent and the drive to adapt. George Springer, whom Luno and Elias had scouted at UConn before joining the Astros, displayed extraordinary athletic ability in the minors, batting .302 with 24 home runs and 32 stolen bases in 2012. However, his reckless playing style, especially his tendency to swing from his heels, resulted in an alarming strikeout rate of 1 per 3.7 plate appearances. After his 2014 debut with the Astros, Springer initially struggled with control, making 6 errors in right field and striking out in 25 of his 32 games. Manager Bo Porter benched him briefly, noting he was overrunning balls and trying to hit the ball to Beaumont. Upon returning, a calmer Springer hit 2 homers and drove in 5 runs, gradually reducing his strikeout rate each year. "I slowly figured out what kind of hitter I wanted to be," Springer explained. "Slowing down, in all aspects, has helped me still play fast." Dallas Keuchel mastered pitching backward, starting with off-speed pitches and finishing with well-located fastballs that appeared faster than their actual velocity. On May 13, 2014, without throwing a single pitch over 90 miles per hour, Keuchel shut out the Texas Rangers completely, inducing 3 double play grounders through 8 innings. His approach against Prince Fielder in the 9th inning showcased his evolution. Using data from the Nerd Cave, Keuchel knew Fielder crushed inside pitches but struggled with low and outside offerings. After working to a 3-1 count with carefully placed pitches, Keuchel induced a game-ending double play with a low outside fastball, exactly as he'd planned. That complete game shutout gave Keuchel a new feeling of control and mastery. He finished 2014 with a 2.93 ERA over 200 innings, and the following season won the American League Cy Young Award. Jose Altuve defied baseball's size prejudice from the beginning. Standing just 5'5", he was repeatedly rejected by professional teams until the Astros' Al Padrique noticed his exceptional speed and contact ability at a Venezuelan tryout in 2006. While the Yankees signed another Venezuelan teenager for $1.6 million that year, Altuve accepted just $15,000. Under the new regime, Astros coaches taught Altuve to be more selective, focusing on pitches he could drive rather than just contact. By 2014, he'd transformed his body as well, cutting junk food to become leaner and more muscular at 160 pounds. His singles turned into 47 doubles and a league-best .341 average. By 2015, at age 25, he hit 15 home runs while striking out less than he had as a rookie, producing like a player worth 10 times his $3 million salary. As 2014 progressed, the Astros' front office wondered if the Sports Illustrated jinx was real. Everything went wrong after George Springer graced the magazine's cover. Beyond the Brady Aiken draft debacle, their 2014 first overall pick failed to sign due to medical concerns, Springer injured his quad and missed the season's final months. Carlos Correa broke his leg in single A. Mark Appel, their 2013 top pick, descended into what he called maybe the worst pitcher in professional baseball. In late June, Deadspin published leaked internal trade discussions from the Astros' proprietary database, Ground Control. The FBI investigation revealed the perpetrator was Chris Correa, the Cardinals scouting director and former colleague of Luno and Sig. Correa had accessed Ground Control at least 60 documented times by using Sig's similar password from his Cardinals days. Court documents revealed Correa was jealous of his former colleagues being praised. He eventually pleaded guilty to 5 felony counts, receiving 46 months in federal prison. The Astros' most regrettable self-inflicted setback was releasing J.D. Martinez. After 3 declining seasons with Houston, Martinez had completely rebuilt his swing with hitting gurus in California. Despite Martinez telling Luno and manager Bo Porter about his transformation, the analytics team calculated that a 26-year-old outfielder with average fielding skills was unlikely to improve significantly. Given just 18 spring training at-bats, Martinez was cut from the worst team in baseball. The Tigers immediately signed him, and Martinez proved his transformation was real, batting 300 and averaging 32 home runs over the next 4 years. For Luno and Sig, Martinez became a humbling reminder that the feeling that we are smart is our enemy, and that even the most sophisticated analytics couldn't account for a player's ability to transform himself through determination and proper coaching. Despite 2014 setbacks, the Astros showed meaningful improvement. Their farm system had become one of baseball's best in just 2 years. The Major League club posted its first winning month since September 2010, with Jose Altuve winning the batting title at 341, Dallas Keuchel pitching 200 innings with a 2.93 ERA, and Colin McHugh finishing with an impressive 2.73 ERA. Though they still lost 92 games, it was a significant improvement from 111 losses the year before. By 2017, the Astros had assembled a talented young core, but they lacked something crucial: veteran leadership. Despite their talented young core, none of their key performers was yet 30. Reflecting on how the experienced Royals had outperformed them in the 2015 ALDS, Luno recognized they needed someone who had experienced virtually everything a player could in professional baseball, someone who could provide the intangible chemistry that analytics couldn't fully measure. The analytics community had evolved in its view of team chemistry. Bill James, once skeptical, now acknowledged that coworkers obviously impact productivity in baseball as in any profession. A study presented at the 2017 MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference found that team chemistry could account for 44% of the 20% variation in team wins that couldn't be explained by individual player performance. In December 2016, Luno signed 39-year-old Carlos Beltran to a one-year, $16 million deal, making him the highest-paid player on an Astros payroll that had nearly quintupled in 4 years. The move wasn't about Beltran's declining on-field production, but his ability to mentor young players and bridge cultural divides. Beltran's career journey had taught him the value of mentorship. As a young Royal, he benefited from veteran Luis Alicia's guidance on maintaining two swings as a switch hitter. He became obsessed with video analysis, developing an exceptional ability to detect pitchers' tells. When approaching Barry Bonds at the 2007 All-Star Game for hitting advice, Bonds surprised him with his willingness to share, showing Beltran his training techniques and imparting the confident mindset that every time you walk to the plate, the person who is in trouble isn't you, it's the pitcher. With the Astros, Beltran worked to create an inclusive environment where information flowed freely between players regardless of language or background. With 17 Americans and 7 Latinos on the opening day roster, he intentionally answered questions in Spanish before repeating in English to normalize both languages. He found an unexpected ally in 23-year-old Alex Bregman, who, despite his imperfect Spanish, enthusiastically communicated with Latino teammates, particularly helping Cuban defector Yuli Gurriel adjust. Beltran also instituted team bonding rituals, including championship belts awarded after each win to the game's best hitter and pitcher. Every player had to remain at their locker for these ceremonies, giving credit to others before accepting their award, with $500 fines for non-participation. The ritual evolved to include music, party lights, and even a fog machine. His impact was substantial. Carlos Correa attributed 7 of his 24 home runs in 2017 directly to Beltran's mentorship, while George Springer also set career highs under his guidance. Even pitchers benefited, with Beltran helping Dallas Keuchel correct a tell in his delivery that had contributed to his post-Cy Young struggles. As August ended, the Astros remained playoff-bound with an 80-53 record and 11.5-game division lead. But their championship prospects had dimmed as their starting rotation faltered. Meanwhile, Hurricane Harvey devastated Houston with 130-mile winds and 5 feet of rain, displacing 30,000 people and causing $150 billion in damage. Owner Jim Crane told Luno it was their duty to give the battered city hope. By 10:30 p.m. on the August 31 trade deadline, Luno had negotiated for Justin Verlander, a future Hall of Famer who would be the season's biggest acquisition. But Verlander's full no-trade clause meant he had to approve the deal, with just 30 minutes remaining before the midnight deadline. Verlander's story in Detroit had been remarkable. After signing for $3.12 million in 2004, he'd become the Tigers' ace, earning an $80 million extension from owner Mike Ilitch in 2010. By 2011, Verlander had mastered his arsenal, strategically varying his velocity and saving his 102-mile-per-hour heat for crucial moments. He went 24-5 with a 2.40 ERA that season, winning both the Cy Young and MVP. With just minutes to decide, Verlander made frantic calls, including one from Dallas Kuechel. With fiancée Kate Upton encouraging him to trust your instincts, Verlander decided, screw it, we're going to Houston. He signed the waiver with just 2 seconds to spare before the midnight deadline. When Verlander arrived in Houston, the Nerd Cave analysts impressed him by immediately asking about his slider adjustment they'd been tracking from afar. After struggling with the pitch early in 2017, Verlander had changed his grip, dropping its velocity to 86 miles per hour while gaining 3 inches of vertical break. By August, batters were hitting just .196 against it. Verlander made his Astros debut on September 5th, winning all 5 September starts with a 1.06 ERA. After being adrift just before September, the Astros finished the season 21-8, entering the playoffs with renewed confidence. The Astros dominated the Red Sox in the ALDS, with Jose Altuve slugging 3 home runs in Game 1 alone. Though they nearly collapsed against the Yankees in the ALCS after taking a 2-0 lead, Carlos Beltran's calm leadership rallied the team. After losing 3 straight in New York, Beltran closed the clubhouse doors and told his teammates, "We took care of business at home before, we can do it again." Verlander dominated Game 6 with 7 shutout innings, and Lance McCullers closed out Game 7 with 24 consecutive curveballs. In the World Series against the Dodgers, George Springer struggled in Game 1, suffering his first 4 strikeout game of the season as the Astros lost 3-1. Despite outside pressure to demote him from the leadoff spot, manager A.J. Hinch kept faith, texting Springer encouragement to enjoy the best time of your baseball life. Springer's disciplined first-inning walk in Game 2 changed everything, sparking his resurgence. After trading blows through extra innings, Springer launched a decisive 2-run homer in the 11th, giving Houston its first-ever World Series victory. Game 5 became an instant classic, a 13-12 10-inning thriller where the teams traded blows until Alex Bregman's walk-off single gave the Astros a 3-2 series lead. Though they lost Game 6, Springer led off Game 7 with a double and later homered off Yu Darvish, joining elite company as only the 3rd player to homer in 4 straight World Series games. With a 5-0 lead that would become the final 5-1 score, Altuve began counting outs. At 10:57 p.m. in Houston on November 1, 2017, Corey Seager hit a ground ball to the shifted Altuve in shallow right field. The second baseman threw to first for the final out, and the Astros became World Series champions, exactly as Sports Illustrated had predicted 3 years earlier. 2 days later, more than 750,000 Houstonians lined downtown blocks for the victory parade, some still dealing with hurricane damage. Carlos Beltran, having finally won a World Series in his 20-year career, announced his retirement 2 weeks later. And Sig Mejdal, keeping to the periphery of the celebration, reflected on the thousands of decisions that had led to this moment. "Winning is fun," he said. "Getting a World Series ring for doing math is fun." By 2017, the Astros' rivals had caught up to many of their once innovative techniques. Every club now had analytics departments, ran defensive shifts, and some had even embraced strategic losing. But the Astros had no intention of rebuilding again. Their 2017 championship was meant to be just the first peak in a dense range, not the summit. Their core players were young and under team control for years. Springer until 2021, Correa until 2022, Bregman until 2023, and Altuve signed through 2024 with a $151 million extension. Their pitching staff was similarly secure, with succession plans in place through top prospects Luno refused to trade. Luno and Sig knew their process was fundamentally backward-looking. The next frontier was not just predicting player performance, but actively improving it, helping each player reach their maximum potential. The Astros had expanded their analytical team significantly, investing heavily in technologies like TrackMan, blast motion sensors, and high-speed cameras throughout their system. These technologies created data that could detect everything from injury risks to swing improvements. After the World Series, Sig Mejdal returned home with the validation that their process had worked. Yet he saw countless ways it could still improve. He envisioned radical innovations like turning infielders into outfielders against extreme flyball hitters, or placing uniformed analysts directly in dugouts. He recognized areas completely overlooked by analytics, like player nutrition in the minors, where post-game meals often consisted merely of bread and peanut butter. The frontier of clubhouse chemistry remained largely unexplored, despite Beltran's $16 million contract proving invaluable for reasons beyond statistics. Researchers studying team dynamics for NASA believe their techniques could be applied to baseball, using cameras and biometric devices to analyze player interactions and stress responses. The Astros had learned that while data provided powerful tools, it would never provide perfect answers. There would always be a place for human intelligence alongside the artificial kind, always a role for gut feels. Their championship wasn't just about analytics or scouting, but about finding the perfect balance between the two, a lesson that extends far beyond baseball into how we might approach complex problems in business, government, and society itself.